Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Comforting classics,
fresh new content,
something old,
something new.
Join Emma and Lucy each month for a new podcast from Fan Critical.
Hello, and welcome back to Something Old, Something New, a podcast from the Fan Critical family, starring your two favourites, Emma and Lucy.
We are the best ones.
We are the best ones, and we are here to talk to you about shock horror, something old that we have recently watched, and something new that we have recently watched. Last month was our first episode, and shockingly, we managed to cross over on one of our choices. So you'll be pleased to know that this month we have pre-screened the choices for the episode to make sure that we don't double up on anything. Lucy is not feeling her best this week.
No.
And I have got a bit of a croaky voice, don't know why, probably talking too much, so bear with us, and hopefully it just makes us sound even better in your ears.
It will make us sound more relatable. They sound broken by life, I can relate to that. Yeah, good.
We're human, broken by the week. We're recording on a Friday night, the two of us, 7:30 in England.
Drinking water.
It's grey outside.
I'm having
a glass of what's marketed as adult squash.
Oh, wow. Robinson's. What flavour?
Yeah. I've no idea because Joe bought it. I think it's like peach and
looks
raspberry.
Like peach to me. You have had nice squash in the past, you know. You had that, I like to call it a fake mojito with what, lime and...
Oh, the lemon and lime.
Lime and... What else? Mint and lime. And I remember you gave it to me with soda and ice. And I was like, shh, who needs alcohol when you've got adult squash?
Yeah. So adult squash, that is our recommendation.
That's
to you all
new.
Today. Yep, something new. But actually, we're going to start with something old, and we're going to start with my something old this week. So earlier this week, having watched LA Confidential.
So good.
For, how the fuck have you not seen that? Excellent. I then said to Joe, oh, do you know what? I've not seen Heat. So we watched Heat, and then we were having a conversation about Val Kilmer.
Which is weird because he came up in the LA Confidential podcast.
Yeah. So he's been
heard of
he's
him
been around
for years
a lot.
And suddenly it's like, what's it called?
Beda Minoff.
That's it. I mean, it's not the same because I do know what Val Kilmer is, but yeah, that is weird. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
No. It's a lovely wobbly story for you. makes no sense. It's just a nice waffle. So then he said to me, oh, have you seen The Snowman? And I was like, what, you mean the lovely one where he flies off into the sky at Christmas?
Oh.
No, it wasn't that one. It's a completely different story. So this is a film that sort of tangentially stars Val Kilmer, but its main characters are played by Michael Fassbender.
Oh, yeah.
And Rebecca Ferguson.
Isn't this very shit?
Well, I'm
sorry
going
to preempt you, but it got bad reviews,
well,
if I remember.
We'll see. I'll read you the IMDb summary. So this film is from 2017, The Snowman. Disclaimer, this is hilarious. So every time I read the IMDb summaries now, I have to look at the like tags that are linked to it. So the tags for this are promiscuous wife.
Love that.
Snow.
Yep, good.
Police investigation. Promiscuous woman. And then the last one, which I don't really understand, hiked skirt.
How is that? Oh, that's disturbing. That's a
it
tag.
Is disturbing. I'd like to know who tags these things. Anyway, the storyline, according to IMDb, is this. When an elite crime squad's lead detective investigates the disappearance of a victim in the first snow of winter...
Is she a promiscuous woman?
Well, we'll see. He fears an elusive serial killer may be active again. With the help of a brilliant recruit, the cop must connect decades-old cold cases to the brutal new one if he hopes to outwit this unthinkable evil before the next snowfall.
I mean, it sounds... I mean, we all love a Scandi drama, I'm sure. So, it's promising. Fassbender, I mean, when did he last make a good film? But you know he's got the talent there somewhere. It could be a recipe for a good film, Emma.
Do you know what? I have to say, for like a midweek film, with I really like Rebecca Ferguson.
She is good. She is Swedish is she not?
So she belongs there. I think she has some Swedish background. It also has a bit of a cameo from Chloe Sevigny.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And some other interesting characters. And obviously, we'll talk about Val Kilmer in a bit. Do you know what? Solid three bloobs.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. It's based on a Joe Nesbo novel.
Oh, yes.
So in theory, the storyline is, I mean, it's very typical, dark, gritty, Scandi drama. So Michael Fassbender's character, Harry Hole.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, he's British.
Oh, okay. I thought it might be like Hole or something.
Hole? No, it is Harry Hole. he's got a drinking problem. He's a bit down and out. He keeps disappearing, and then this case comes up and he gets all obsessed, obviously. Rebecca Ferguson's character, Katrine, you know, she's got a bit of a shady past. She appears, she's new, she's really into this particular investigation. She is mysterious. Shock horror. And then you get a load of flashbacks to Val Kilmer looking, what I will say, fucking rough.
Yeah.
So it kind
of was a bit of a thing a while ago, wasn't it, that he wasn't looking his best. But age comes to all of us, even if you're a movie star.
I have to say, it feels a little bit like, and this is partly why I wanted to bring this up, because I'm sad about this. It felt a little bit like what happened is Val Kilmer had gotten older, which all happens to all of us, as you've said, Lucy. He'd gotten older. He might have an issue with alcohol, but he also may have had a lot of plastic surgery.
Oh.
And it sort of looked like Jackie Stallone.
Yeah, Jackie.
And I didn't want to slag off Val, but it just was a bit pants. However, the rest of the cast is really interesting. So Toby Jones makes an appearance in this film. And I love a bit of Toby Jones.
He is in everything. He pops up a lot. He's very good.
He's an excellent actor. Everyone knows his face, but I don't know that everyone knows really who he is. Then you've also got Adrian Dunbar, a.k.a. Hastings from Line of Duty. I almost said Call of Duty then. Line of Duty. So for our American listeners, Line of Duty is a police procedural drama, basically about internal affairs in the police in the England. And it's very good.
In the London.
It's not in the London, though, is it?
Isn't it? I don't really watch it.
I think it's in the North.
Is it?
And then, obviously, you've got Fassbender. He's quite good in it, I have to say, Luce. I think if you want an easy, like, Len always talks about a Sunday afternoon film, doesn't have to be good, but enjoyable.
Bit dark, isn't it a bit gritty. Scary?
Only a touch.
Okay.
I enjoyed it, and it was. It came out in 2017. I feel like there is a period of time in my life where I just stopped going to the cinema.
Yeah, I mean, last year, the whole of last year.
Forget. I mean, that doesn't include COVID. Just to clarify, COVID times is a whole other ball game. It might be a little scary. Maybe a little scary. Maybe it's more of a Saturday night in.
What day is it today? Friday. Okay, maybe tomorrow. I am home alone tomorrow, so maybe not. But I think I'll give it a thing.
Watch it with Aaron.
When I'm in the mood for a scary, that's maybe more of a winter film for me. You know, the dark evenings. See,
it's funny because I don't think I'd watch it in the winter because of the snow.
Because of the snowman.
In the summer, it's a little bit better because you look out and go, oh, it's all right. First snowfall's not for 6 months.
There's no snowman around.
We're safe. I don't know how many spoilers you want because I think you should watch it, Lucy.
Yeah, let's leave it spoiler free and just a suggestion that it's actually not that bad because I remember when it came out, it was quite roundly criticised. I don't know if you've got any ratings there. Critical ratings?
I don't remember it coming out. So IMDb gives it 5.1 out of 10.
Yeah, so that was about what I'd heard, that it wasn't fantastic.
As is tradition, Rotten Tomatoes gives it 7% on the tomato meter.
Fuck me.
An 18% audience score. Right, I'm going to be honest, I didn't think it was that bad. The critics' consensus is that a mystery that feels as mashed together and perishable as its title, The Snowman squanders its best-selling source material as well as a top-notch ensemble cast.
What a shame.
Well, that is a real shame.
I do think it's interesting with Michael Fassbender because he obviously started his career in kind of indie films. Like he worked with Steve McQueen a couple of times. He was in 12 Years a Slave and he kind of stole the show. But since then, I feel like he's really taken a few missteps with his career and he just seems to make films that are just panned critically and do not make any money and the fans don't even like them. I wonder why.
I don't think he cares. Do you get that impression? Like, I thought he was good in X-Men.
Oh, yeah. To be fair, that sort of thing is, like, good anyway. They're good films. The newer X-Men films. The one with Apocalypse was shit. But the other two, however many there were, he was decent and he was a good Magneto. And I think that level of blockbuster, good. But he did that Assassin's Creed film, which I haven't seen, but it's supposed to be shit. And I just think you're actually a really good actor, like quite a serious guy. And nothing wrong with making blockbusters, but when they're not even good, like, come on.
No, and he sort of went into a bit sort of like sci-fi blockbuster action films. So like when he did Prometheus and things like that. And
he was very good in Prometheus, though. I don't know. It's not a good film.
Frozen.
But I would consider that one of his good performances as that robot. But you're right in that, I don't know, where are his prestige dramas? Steve McQueen needs to bring him back on the firm, I think.
Well, given that it turns out my taste in movies is rotten, which I'm sure if any of you have listened to any other podcast I'm in, you'll all know, I think it's possibly time to move on from The Snowman. Now the snow has thawed.
In the air. How can they call
now
it
we're
that?
Now walking in the sludge.
It's ruining a childhood classic.
I know. It is a shame. That was a beautiful bit of song there, Lucy. Thank you. Let's move on to spring. Springtime, new growth. And Lucy, what is your something new for this month?
Ah, lovely segue. My something new is a Channel 4 show, which I believe is actually on HBO as well, or it's in association with something. I may have made that up, so don't quote me on it. It is called This Way Up. There was an original series a couple of years ago, I think. And the second series has just come out and it is a sort of comedy drama created, written by and starring Aisling Bea, who is an Irish comedian, writer. She's fantastic. And it also has Sharon Horgan in it. So just continuing the Horgan tradition. We mentioned Motherland last week, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. This is not as funny. It's not supposed to be as funny. It's a drama. About sisters, Irish sisters living in London. One of them, played by Aisling Bea, has just kind of come out of rehab because she's dealing with her mental health issues. And it's just kind of about their relationship and her kind of struggling to move through the world. But it's funny as well. Have you seen it, Emma?
I have not, but I absolutely love Aisling Bea.
She's so good
in
it.
And I follow her. I follow her on the Instagram.
Oh, do you? I need to do so.
I do. Oh, she's really funny. And she'd been posting about series two of This Way Up. And then I actually listened to her on a podcast. It might have been Off Menu.
Oh, yeah.
And talking about it. And I was like, how have I not watched this? But, well, my something new will explain why I haven't had time to watch this.
Okay. all will become clear.
Twill. So no, I haven't, but I am very excited to.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. It's very bingeable. I think the episodes, I think they're about half an hour, maybe with a break in the middle. If you watch it on Channel 4, I watched it on Catch Up All 4. And it's just, yeah, it's very bingeable. Like you want to keep watching it. You want to find out what happens to this woman. I think it's a really great portrayal of sisters. I think it's a great portrayal of mental health without being depressing, but without making light of it. I think she covers it really well. It's very Irish humour. They're just funny. They're just a funny bunch, the Irish.
There's something really special about Irish humour as well, and Irish family humour.
Yes, and that like comes into it. Her relationship with her mum is touched upon, her relationship with her sister, which is very realistic, and Sharon Horgan plays her sister, and you see her relationship with her, well, boyfriend at the time. And yeah, it's just really good. And also, what is his name? Tobias Menzies is in it, who is in Game of Thrones.
Really?
He played Prince Philip in The Crown in the later seasons. He's very good as well. Yeah. And it's just something that I really enjoyed watching. And the two series we watched it, I think we must have just covered them in a week, because it is easy to watch and just to keep going. It's not grueling in any way. The episodes are not particularly long. And I just think, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next season. I hope there is one. I'll have to start following her on Instagram.
You will. For our non-UK listeners, what else has Sharon Horgan been in?
So Sharon Horgan was in Catastrophe, which I have seen some of, but definitely need to like complete the Horgan trinity and watch that.
So Catastrophe was brilliant.
Yeah, I know. I need to finish it anyway. I believe that was over in the US. I think she wrote a comedy drama with Sarah Jessica Parker, I believe, about a divorce. I believe it may have been called The Divorce, but I'm going to check that for you, listeners, because that's the kind of gal I am. What else has she been in? Yeah, she created Motherland, which is, again, hilarious.
Yeah, brilliant.
I don't know if you can get that overseas. I hope so, because it's extremely funny.
That would be, I think it would appeal to our audience. Well, here's something. One of the first things she's credited for is a TV movie from 2002 called Shoreditch Twap.
Ha!
Which just many basically Shoreditch sums her up in my eyes.
I've encountered in my life. There's a show called Divorce in the US. Three seasons. Wowza. Starring, yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker. So,
Carrie Bradshaw. Do you know what? I've heard of that, but I haven't watched it, which is a shame, actually, because I think I'd really enjoy it.
I feel like it was advertised here, but there is a lot to watch, and sometimes things slip through the crack, which is what this podcast is all about, isn't it? Catching up on stuff that you've missed now that we've all got a little bit more time, allegedly.
Yeah. Well, I think also, I'd forgotten this. I haven't actually seen it, but she... the new version of Military Wives.
Oh, yeah, I've seen the advert. It looks a bit... That would be maybe a Sunday night film. Bit twee. But, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, I just need a British, like, tea and cakes, comforting film. And I think that would probably...
Bit of, you know... I was about to say a bit of nationalism. That is not what I meant
at all.
You
cannot be a bit of nationalism on a Sunday. I'm always saying
it. Okay, you cannot. I can't think of the word, like just gentle Britishness, very kind of traditionally British, which is just comforting in its own way, isn't it?
Definitely. I find it like, it is a bit of a detour from what we're talking about, but it's Irish. Like even though I'm not Northern Irish or anything, like Derry Girls. Have you ever seen Derry Girls?
Oh my God. I love Derry Girls.
I find that very comforting. I think it's the 90s like nostalgia. Without being overpowering, I'm like, when I'm sad, I'm like, I just want to watch Derry Girls. I don't know why. I just need to hear their accents and I just need to feel safe. And yeah, again, Irish, well, Northern Irish, but hilarious. Recommend that if anyone hasn't seen that.
Yeah, I definitely recommend Derry Girls and hilarious. And also it's a bit like, do you remember when we watched The Inbetweeners where you look and you cringe and you think, oh my God, I remember being that age. I feel like that. About Derry Girls,
yeah,
very much, and I really enjoy it. And actually, so I'm really interested that you like This Way Up, because I really enjoy Aislinn B on you know, all the panel shows.
Yes.
I think she's really good.
She definitely deserves a lot better than just being the token woman on the panel shows, I must say. Like, she's a great performer and the writing's really good. And just, she can pick up on everyday humour, especially between the sisters. Like, there's moments where, written down, something wouldn't make you laugh, but the way they do it is just hilarious. And I don't have any sisters, but I can still recognise it as a very real relationship and their chemistry. Like, because Aisling Bea's character has come out of rehab, and that's like the premise of the show, so it's not a spoiler. And Sharon Horgan's character, Shona. So Anya and Shona, and I love the Irish names. So Sharon Horgan's character, Shona, is older and she's just worried about her. And you can just tell, like, and she says at one point, I think, she's like, it's not just your life, it's my life, because I have to worry about you. And it's just very, really sad at times, but funny and just really worth a watch.
I think that's quite similar to the feels from Motherland, isn't it? That it's, you know, there are a lot of comforting things about it because it's just about real life.
Motherland is definitely just a lot more play for laughs and a lot funnier. Like, it's more of a just comedy with some touching moments, whereas this is more of a drama with some funny bits.
I think the nice thing about it as well, you know, having not seen it, is that Aisling Bea's the two of them have written it together.
Yeah.
Right? Am I right in saying that?
I don't know if they wrote it together, to be honest. Let me go back to my Sharon Horgan file. I'm pretty sure it was just...
Yes, we keep files on all of the actresses that we discuss, and actors.
She was an executive producer. So Aisling Bea wrote it, I believe.
Aisling Bea wrote it. Mm. Well, even better for her. Well done, Aisling Bea. And you said that's available on all four in the UK and...
Hulu.
So
get on Hulu, guys.
I think everyone has Hulu in the America.
Yeah, I think so. And Australia.
We can't get it here, which is really upsetting.
No, it is annoying. But I think most stuff on Hulu you can get elsewhere. If you know where to look.
Well, maybe that'll be my something new for next month, is just learning cyberpunk.
Yeah, that's my new hobby.
thank you, Lucy. So, my something new is new-ish, but it's opened up a whole new world for me. So, Joe and I have just started watching The Punisher.
That is...
Which is a TV series.
Marvel? DC?
Marvel. It is Marvel. Marvel's The Punisher.
Right.
Now, it finished in 2019, but I still call that recent because, let's face it, 2020 and 2021.
Well, it's new to you, I think, is the... We're flexible and with new the theme to me. Here, I think.
Now, what interests me about this is a number of things. One, it stars Jon Bernthal, who was in The Walking Dead, and, you know, also who is an excellent character. Two, it's got a really... It's an interesting story. So we're about halfway through season one. And I'm really enjoying it. However, we have just discovered that we've definitely watched none of the other series that we should have watched prior to this.
Oh, because they all link up, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
That's how they get you.
Apparently we and the thing is Joe was like, oh, I don't know if I can be bothered. And I was like, well, now I want to watch Daredevil and Jessica Jones and all of the other ones that are relevant to this particular world, because people keep turning up and I'm like, fuck,
yeah,
is she?
That would annoy me.
Why do I not know who she is? But what's really interesting, so in season one, you've got Homeland Security agent who is played by an actress who I've never seen before, but who's really good. Name's Dina. The actress is called Amber Rose Reaver. She's really interesting. She's really good. She's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like classic, hard-ass, bit like in Homeland.
Carrie
in Homeland, very a little bit like that, although slightly less unstable.
She was pretty unstable, wasn't she, really?
She was pretty unstable. But it also co-stars Ben Barnes, who you will remember as Logan from Westworld.
Yes, well, I hate Westworld, so I remember him as being in... What was he in? He was in Stardust, I think, and he was in something else. Well, I'm glad to see him getting work, because I think he's good.
Yeah.
British. Handsome. What more do you
he
want?
He did play Dorian Gray once.
That was it. Yeah, I'm sorry, I wasn't saying that.
And
I'm
Prince,
that as well.
Prince Caspian, Chronicles of Narnia.
That's it. Yes, he's Prince Caspian. Famously.
And he also was in Stardust as the young Dustin Thorne.
Yeah, I love Stardust.
Yeah, I genuinely think he's a really good character. Now, character actor, and his character is interesting, but his character reminds me a lot of his character in Westworld. Oh. And he did these sort of almost crossing over. So he's like, he's...
rich arsehole.
Kind of, well, he is a rich arsehole now. So the premise of the show is that Frank Castle, the Punisher, he was in like a really deep military ops thing. And then when he comes back, his family are all killed by the cartel, except maybe it's not the cartel. Quite very sad. So he goes a bit mental and he goes off punishing those people responsible. He murders everybody running around in a hoodie. You know,
that's not a costume.
Fair enough. It's not. But it is quite scary. And Ben Barnes's character, Billy Russo, served with him in this particular, like, super secret, maybe slightly bad special ops unit over in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan, all of, you know, during that particular period of conflict. And then when they come back, so John Bernthal's family, Frank Castle's family, sorry, refer to the character, are all murdered. So he goes a bit mad. And what Billy Russo does, is decides to set up a like private security / black ops firm and make loads of money by contracting out to the US government to go off and do ops.
Doing up ops. So he's like, why don't they just get doing the army them ops to do it?
Because sometimes you don't want people to know what it is that you're doing, and you're willing to pay lots of money to have somebody else do that without getting political on the podcast. But what's interesting, his character is very much like, now I'm wearing a nice suit and I'm very pretty, and also I'm quite dangerous and a little bit unstable, and if you piss me off I might shoot you. And you can really, it's really interesting watching it because you can really see Logan in his character in this.
Yeah.
And I hated him in Westworld. Yeah. Look, he acted the role very well. Clearly he's very good at that. So after a very long-winded way of getting to this, I would really like to see him in Stardust. Because I don't think I've seen it.
You haven't seen Stardust?
No,
what
I don't think I have.
What the hell? Why?
Or if I have, maybe it was just a long time ago and I can't remember.
I really love it.
There.
It's funny. If I watched it now, I don't know if I might not find it as good. But I watched it when I was at uni, sorry, at cinema, and I absolutely loved it. He's not in it much. So don't watch it for him. He's
maybe
in like
I'll
a
watch
little
him in
flashback
the Chronicles
thing.
Of Narnia instead then.
But I love it.
Or maybe I'll just Google the flashback.
We'll just watch the film because it's good.
Okay, maybe I will. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a nice project. So Joe and I tend to watch films a lot, which you know I don't do. I like a series. And we've been very good at not watching without the other person. So it's a nice project so that we've got something that's 45 minutes long instead of 2 hours long to watch of an evening. God, who have I become?
Yeah, I think that's good if you're enjoying it. But what my issue would be is like, say you've watched The Punisher and you enjoyed it, I presume. You've liked
it. Oh, yeah, really enjoying it. I really like it. I think like it's violent. It's, you know.
Everything you want. Just violence.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit sort of comic violence. But there's also, there's a good kind of interesting relationship between Frank Castle and I don't really want to spoil it, but there's another character that he doesn't really like, and then they become sort of buddies and they have a good repartee, and I quite enjoy that. So there are some interesting parts to it that aren't just him going around punishing people. There's a story behind it and I'm intrigued to know where it goes. So I think, you know, it's a nice sort of two or three series project.
Yeah, I mean, that part of it's good, but it would annoy me if I felt obligated now to go back and watch two other series or like completely different shows just to understand this show.
Yeah.
Like that aspect of it would annoy me, because if I went back and watched Daredevil and was like, this is shit, but I know I have to watch it all for The Punisher to make sense, I think that would stop me watching The Punisher, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think the decision that we made not to go back and watch the other shows was the right one, because it's
so
not,
you're not
like
gonna
either
do that.
Of us are idiots. Well, we're not going to do it before continuing The Punisher. I might go back and watch them another time, but we're not going to stop watching it and go
back. Fair
because
one.
I don't think we need to. I think, you know, I think if you really want the full experience, it's like just jumping into like watching Avengers Endgame without ever having seen a Marvel movie. you know, like you'd probably work out what was going on.
But you'd miss a lot, I think, if you did that specifically. Yeah. You'd be like, what's okay, vibranium? Like you just wouldn't like, know anything.
Yeah, like, well, it's kind of like, I think actually it was a bit like watching those last ones when I hadn't seen Black Panther and I was like, the fuck are all these people from Wakanda?
Ah, yeah.
You know, confusing. Or if you watched The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I've just watched, and you hadn't ever seen a Marvel film. Whereas I think with The Punisher, it's a bit more, you could watch it as a standalone, but there are certain things like a couple of characters turn up where you're supposed to know who they are and they don't really explain
like
to
a
you
big
who
reveal
they are.
And you're like, this means nothing.
Yeah, like for everyone who knew everything about it, they'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe like they're finally reconnected. And I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah, it means less.
But that is what Wikipedia is for. So, you know, I don't think it's an excellent show. I think it's a good show. I think it's, again, a solid 3 bloob. And at the moment, I'm not in the place where I need too much intense 5 bloob content. So it's working for me.
No, I know what you mean. When you,
it's
you're
working
like,
for me.
I just want it to be engaging but easy. I feel you.
I want to enjoy it, but I don't want to have to really, you know, obsess about it. That's my thing. I think if you enjoy Marvel, it's worth it. It's sort of one of those fringe stories, you know, like not really part of the main popular
not
canon.
Part of the MCU, but just part of the like comic book world.
Exactly. So I'd recommend it if you are not fussy about watching stuff to understand who random characters might be.
If you're not bothered about people turning up to reactions that you don't understand, then
then watch it. I really liked it. I like John Bernthal, and I can't think what else I've seen him in. Liz,
he is in lots. Is he in Sicario? Because when you said about the cartels, I was like Sicario.
Oh yeah, you might be right.
He's I don't want to give anything away about Sicario, but
nope, spoiler free please.
Watch it if you want, but yeah, he's in that. He's in a few things. What else is he in? Yeah, I like him. He's got a very distinctive, memorable face, despite me not being able to remember anything he's been in.
His voice is very memorable and very kind of powerful. So in The Punisher, he's very kind of growly, which I really like. Lucy, it's your turn to round us off with your something old.
Okay, so my something old was watched, I think, a couple of weekends ago. You know, when you're just, I'm very... With films especially, don't want to watch a new film. Want to watch a film I already like. Want to watch a film I already love. That I know what's going to happen and I can just watch it and not have to really engage too much. So it was my turn to pick a film. And I chose Clueless because it's just a 90s classic. very comforting. And Aaron was like, I've seen this. We've watched this recently. And then when Paul Rudd turned up, he was like, Paul Rudd's in. I was like, so you haven't seen it at all then because you didn't know that Paul Rudd was in it.
Paul Rudd that never ages.
Yeah.
What is he like, not Cisco, the other one.
What do you mean the other one?
A Pharrell that never ages.
Yes, I mean, I'm sure Cisco doesn't.
I don't know why I compared him to Cisco.
Pharrell is
Yeah,
is
Paul Rudd
good
still looks
age.
Like he's 20.
Some people, I think just being attractive generally is helpful, although Val Kilmer doesn't help everyone. But it was, it was nice to watch it, although I think it's hard to watch films from the 90s without a bit of a critical eye for modern values, although I do find it annoying to do that and to analyse it too much. But I think it actually stood up pretty well through that lens. Like, there wasn't too much, like, sort of homophobia and all the other horrible things. It was quite a... kind of stayed away from all that kind of thing, which so made it quite an easy watch.
I suppose also that Clueless was relatively unique in some ways, that it had a quite multicultural cast.
It did, yeah. You had Dee and her boyfriend, Murray, both.
Played by the actor from Scrubs.
Yes, Donald Faison?
That is the
and
one.
Stacey Dash, who was about 30 when she was in it. They all look so old. But the fashion...
I mean, God forbid you could cast a film with teens where the teens aren't played by 30-year-old actors.
I don't think it's ever happened. To be fair, Alicia Silverstone, I think, was like 19. But she's supposed to be 15. So they're very young in it anyway. They're not even like 18-year-old high schoolers. They're supposed to be like learning to drive and stuff.
God, what a lovely bit of nostalgia, Liz.
Oh, it was lovely. And look at the fashion. I just love it. Like, it's so back in fashion now, but it's just so stylish. It wasn't quite as funny as I remember. And I also think, because it's basically an adaptation of Emma by Jane Austen, yeah. The kind of, she thinks of him as her stepbrother, but she ends up going out with him is a bit yuck, really. That's the one thing that I was like, meh, I don't think that is appropriate.
It's incorrect.
Because, and he seems a lot older than her. Like, she's 15 and he's at college. Like, not getting the best vibes. And her dad is very fierce, like lawyer, like scary in a funny way. And the idea that he'd be like okay with it is like, I don't think he would. He didn't want people sitting in his chair, let alone his sort of stepson dating his daughter, his one daughter. But it's good. Brittany Murphy's in it, bless her. May she rest in peace. Yeah. So tragic.
That is sad.
But it's like 90 minutes. Lots of great quotable lines. And yeah.
I mean, that's already ticked two of our boxes, Lucy. 90 minutes quotable.
Yeah. Great 90s fashion, like the hair, the makeup. It's like a hug. Just sitting, watching that, all the music. Yeah, very nostalgic. I just really enjoyed it. And I just can't face watching anything new. TV shows, fine. But a film, I watch a different new film. I'm like, no, I don't want to. I really just want to watch like Crazy Rich Asians. I just want to watch rom-coms.
Also, don't watch Crazy Rich Asians.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I watched it again recently just because I find Singapore really interesting anyway. Not that this is like a documentary, but just anything I'm finding, I don't know about you and our listeners, because we can't go anywhere, quite interested in films or TV that's set not in England or anywhere that's like fully recognisable. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no, we need the escapism.
Yeah, oh, that's nice.
Like, massively need the escapism. See, I've been doing a lot of, been watching a lot of Rick Stein.
Fucking love Rick Stein. Oh my God.
Because who doesn't love Rick? Also, because it's about food and he travels around to places. And yeah, but that escapism. But so I can imagine that Clueless was probably like a really nice nostalgic journey. Yeah. I remember watching that when I was younger and thinking they were so grown up and mature and amazing. And to think they were supposed to be 15.
Yeah, I mean, that is quite... That never even occurred to me. It's not like talking about sex loads, but like losing their virginities and stuff. And when she's talking about getting her license and being 15, I'm like, as if, to quote them. Not even. Like, it just seems a bit, yeah, like, very young. At 15, I was just a mess. I did not have highlights. I did not have, you know, Fred Siegel. I didn't have anything.
No, I was a moron at 15. And things have not improved in the last 17 years much. Am I making this up? Or am I right in saying that she had, a magical closet
she
in the film?
She had an app, so very ahead of its time, kind of like an app. She went on her PC and it basically was like a closet that showed, it was like a little sort of CGI image of her, and it would like match up her clothes so she knew what to wear, and then she'd go and get it. Amazing.
Why do we not have that now?
I know. Well, I said this, and apparently there is something like that now, but it's taken long enough. This was 95, 26 years to get Cher's dream closet. Come on, Silicon Valley, wake up.
Seriously,
this is what women want.
We've wanted that since 1995.
Yeah. You've been slow.
Unbelievable. Terrible. And what have we got instead? We've got Jeff Bezos.
Going to space in a dick.
Up in a penis rocket. I mean, who does he think
What's
he is?
Climate change?
Fucking Dr. Evil. Don't worry about climate change. I'll just spend £1 million on a rocket that looks like a penis. Sorry, that was a real diversion. What my point being, what we should have is Cher's closet app.
Yeah. Oh,
I'd pay for that.
I love it. And yeah, I just, if you haven't seen it, watch it. I'd be interested to what you think now watching it, Emma, but I think it actually stands up pretty well.
Oh no, I might. So Joe does two night shifts a week, which means I get the telly and the bed to myself twice a week, which is amazing. So not tonight, because I already have last chance to watch Channel 5 on demand documentary about murders to finish.
Of course,
and shockingly, we've
do.
Done two episodes of this, and I have not brought up a murder documentary yet.
There's
but wait,
time.
Next month I
oh,
might.
There's time.
But next week I will delve into the Clueless closet.
Yeah, do it
And feedback. I'll do it. Well, that has been a fascinating mixture of old and new. So we've had The Snowman, This Way Up, The Punisher and Clueless.
Not much older, really... though, I would say. I would say only Clueless is very old.
No. We've actually done quite a lot of new.
Newer, yeah.
But I don't care. I think we've done a lovely job of it. So if you have enjoyed our ramblings about something old, something new, or mostly new, but old in a way, new to us, then you can subscribe to Fan Critical on all of your favourite podcasting platforms. Please do rate us, leave us a review. And if you really, really like what we do, you can support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/fancritical. We don't just do this as a podcast family. We have many, many other shows. So not only our kind of event movies and big TV shows that we like to cover, we also have a number of other podcasts, including the How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That series, where we delve into our closets of shame to talk about the movies that we've pretended to see for years and actually have never watched, which always includes a very fun and slightly tense quiz. The gents do a podcast called 60 Minutes to Midnight, where they talk about whiskey and the telly. And movies. We also have The Worst of Netflix with John and Gaz, where they delve through the depths of Netflix films to talk about what might be the Zero Bloob winner. That is very entertaining. And of course, we have our brand new show, Not All Sequels Are Created Equal, where two of us each week pitch against each other a sequel to a film that's never had one, and the rest of the team vote as to who wins.
Yep.
So we will be back next month with another episode of Something Old, Something New. But keep tuning in to the rest of Fan Critical content. And thank you very much for listening. See you in a month.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.